octalkradio.net.
You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Good afternoon and welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. I host the Business Talk Show, which airs live on Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons at 4 p.m. If you're listening to this show as a podcast, possibly off of Apple iTunes or one of our other podcasting services, then I would encourage you to listen live during our broadcast times on octalkradio.net. The goal for this show, you, the audience, make better decisions. We do that by interviewing thought leaders and peer executives who have transferable knowledge, ideas, and experiences. I would like to thank Smart Business Magazine for sponsoring the show today. Smart Business Magazine is a management journal providing insight and advice for top decision makers. To learn more about Smart Business Magazine, visit their website, www.sbnonline.com. When you're there, select the Orange County section in the local journals area, and you'll see information specifically for Orange County executives. The goal of Critical Mass, the radio show, is really an extension of our 17-year practice. We build CEO peer groups for executives and business owners here in Orange County, California. We do that in partnership with Renaissance Executive Forums. If you'd like to learn more about what we do, check out our website, www.criticalmassforbusiness.com. Guest Dan Kaufman of UPS Protection Incorporated. Dan, welcome to the radio show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Let's get right into the interview. Excuse me, I developed a little frog in my throat. Can you tell us about your path to UPS Protection?
Sure. I came out to California about 22 years ago with an engineering and MBA background, and worked in high tech and product development for about 17 years, and then purchased UPS Protection through the BizBen, the sort of online brokerage piece, and that was about 6 years ago. So the company's 30 years old. I've owned it for the past six.
Why would you buy a business?
I always wanted to be self-employed. I sort of grew up in that environment and always had that bug, and it just took me a long time to do it. And the why piece is, I guess I liked being the driver of my own decisions, and I think that was why. That part was easy.
Okay, so you looked at a number of different businesses. How did you select this business as the right business for you?
I did look at a lot of businesses before I came across this one. I was lucky that this wasn't the first one I looked at, because I may have passed it up. I was looking for it at a high-tech background, and I was looking for something that had technology in it, had manufacturing in it, had an industry that would sort of keep me interested, and was in my price range, which was a tough combination of things to find. And I was just really fortunate to be able to find all of that in sort of one package.
So what is it that UPS Protection does? What's your business, and what makes you different?
Well, UPS Protection, the UPS part is uninterruptible power supplies. So we do battery backup equipment. So everything to do with protecting our customers' power, so with the power that comes into their business that supports their machinery and their equipment, we sell and service the products that keep that power up in the event of some sort of power situation, like a brownout or a power outage or some other fluctuation. What makes us different is that we use the model of sort of the car dealership model, which isn't that sexy today, but that's the model that we use, and that is that we sell new equipment, used equipment, and we do service. And while that sounds fairly mundane, we are one of the few companies that offer that range in this industry. There's not many guys who sell both new and used. There's not many folks who do selling the products and do the service as well. So we're a little bit unique in that we handle a really broad scope of products, and we can really handle all of our customers' needs, including giving them a solution that really meets their budget. So if their budget for this month is new equipment, then we can fit new equipment in there. If their budget is a lot tighter, there's used equipment we can put in there. Everything we sell is a warranty. Everything is tested, and I think it's that range of service that makes us unique.
And we're going to come to some of your strategies to grow the firm and how you have made changes and how those changes to the business have manifest themselves in kind of the both the top line and the bottom line a little bit later in the interview. But I'd like to ask you, could you share with us your guiding principle for how you lead the firm today?
Sure. Our tagline inside of our logo is protect your power, and that's really what we try to do with our customers is protect their power. So with that in mind, our guiding principle is really to guide a solution that fits the customer's needs. And it's difficult for me to make it that short because I think what's difficult about our solution is that it is technical in such a way that most of our customers don't understand it. So they're really trusting us to make sure that we make the right sort of power decisions for them. They might be computer guys, they might be doctors, they might be in education, but they're not power guys. So they really rely on us to guide that product and that solution.
And how do you demonstrate that you're trustworthy to be able to make that decision for them? Can you is it the range of services and products that you offer, but how are you able to have them believe that you're going to be the right supplier for them?
I think that's a good question, and I don't know that we can do that with a one-off offering. I think the customers that we've had for years are the ones who have grown to trust us. So I think at first they take a chance because we give them a nice, our initial presentation is probably very nice. We know what we're talking about. We can really give them two different solutions, a new one, a used one. Hey, we'll do service. Maybe you don't even need that. But that just gets us in the door. I think in the long run, what keeps us in to customers is that after a while, I think they see that what we say on a daily basis is true and that we stand behind our warranties and we stand behind our service. And if we need to jump through hoops for them, even if there's not really a financial gain in it for us, we'll jump through hoops for them. So we really, I think, gain that trust over time. And we do a good job of getting ourselves in with just our approach and our honesty.
In a customer service model that means you're more than a hardware supplier to your clients. Is that's what I'm hearing from your conversation?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, because what would make it very difficult to compete in this business is if we just sold the hardware, we'd be competing at 3% margin or 5% margin. But because we can tailor a solution to meet a customer's needs, and in order to do that, we really have to know what we're talking about. Those are the things that make it so, A, we can survive better, but B, our customers really trust us. And you're right, it's not just a hardware solution. It's a complete solution with not just the hardware, but the service, the support later on, really the knowledge of this industry and where this industry is going and where it's been and where it makes sense to spend money and where it doesn't make sense to spend money. Those are all the things that we offer besides just a solid price on hardware.
Is it fair to make an analogy that battery backup, protecting your power source in the case of a failure or problem, selling companies on insurance? I mean, it's the kind of thing you don't want to ever have to use, but you only know you need it when you have a situation. Is that, or have people become so understanding of what it is that your systems provide that it's not a matter of convincing them they need it, but demonstrating that you can provide the right solution for them?
I think it's a little of both. It would be great if everybody knew that they needed it. That's not always the case. So sometimes we spend half our time convincing them that they've got some unprotected equipment there that they could damage, and the cost of protecting it, the insurance, which is really what it is. It is an insurance policy that sits in the back and just quietly hums away and takes care of you in the event of things you may not even know are happening. That really is what it is. That's a good description of it. Our customers go on the full range. Some guys really understand power and absolutely know why they need it. Other folks don't understand it as much and maybe are looking for the cheapest solution. So that's where we have to step in. That's where our job begins, is to make sure that we tailor that product, even if it is more expensive than what they're looking for, to make sure that we give them the protection that they really need.
Mm. Okay, let's turn our attention a little bit. As you know, both in my business life and here on the radio show, I'm an advocate of what I term the power of CEO peer groups, the ability of of people to get around the table who aren't invested in each other from a business relationship and help each other make better decisions. That's why we do the radio show. I'm wondering if you might be able to share with us kind of an experience that you've had where you could have either benefited from or you didn't get benefit from being around a peer group, and kind of how you now see that with a little bit more, you know, time between you and that event.
It's without question, it's so beneficial to have a peer group that I can lean on to give me advice. And one of the biggest pieces of advice that I didn't necessarily take, and I still remember it, was you've got to know your banker. You've got to know. If you don't know your banker's name or his kids' names, then you don't really know your banker. And I've heard that before, but never really took it to heart. And I had a situation where my bank really could have helped me out, or in a situation where, I guess that's a nice way to put it, they could have helped me out, and they didn't. And when I went to go talk to the bank, and it was one of the big banks, there just wasn't that go-to person. I didn't have somebody who I really knew, who I could say, hey, what's going on? This isn't right. So it was just a little thing, that know your banker piece, but that could have been very valuable for me had I taken that advice.
And especially with what we've seen in the past couple of years, and I can, you know, say within our peer groups, there have been numerous conversations about the changing relationship between the firm and their banker, and many times the CEO, business owner, doesn't feel their business is any different than it was a year ago, but for some reason the banking relationship has changed. And that's because of the, you know, the macroeconomic factors that we've seen in the economy, et cetera, but It would be good to learn from other people's experiences before it happens to you with your banker,
right,
is what I hear you saying. Can you share with us, kind of to build on that, a current challenge that's facing your business and the steps that you're taking to attempt to mitigate that challenge?
Right, and I'll just take that step further. So now I've taken that advice, and I interviewed banks and got to know some bankers who were small enough to be interested in my business, and now I'm going through that painful process of moving all of my banking over to a different bank. And I'm doing it because my pain part of it right now is a cash flow issue, not a business doing poorly, but just a typical cash flow business or cash flow issue. And in order to help that, I need the bank's help. So I'm moving to a bank that looks to be more responsive and really took the time to know my business.
And your firm, UPS Protection Incorporated, you're growing. You came to my attention because your firm has been recognized as a growing company here in Orange County. And many in our listening audience know that it's through those times of growth that your cash demands are maybe the greatest because of all the things that you're trying to do to invest in the business. You really need your cash flow and your cash needs in the business maybe at some of the greatest points that it'll ever be.
Right. Yeah, exactly right. I feel like I should have, you know, I shouldn't always have that issue because we're doing great, but it is a constant issue, and my peer group advice of know your banker, you know, had I really taken that to heart a couple of years ago when somebody told it to me, would have been really helpful, you know, 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lessons learned. Let's turn ourselves in a little different direction, Dan. And part of what we see here on the radio show, and part of what you and I talked about in discussing your appearance here on the show today, we've identified some common strategies that successful, growing mid-market companies employ. These strategies, there are four of them. We talk about them on the show from time to time. I felt in our conversation that you had elements of those strategies within how you're, you know, moving U.S. protection, UPS protection forward. So I'm wondering, could you share with our audience sort of what you're doing in that area to differentiate UPS Protection Incorporated in the minds of your prospective clients and the marketplace?
I think the four points that are in those growth strategies are, I wish we had all of them, and it certainly it would be a great goal to get there. I think that one of the ones that we're always thinking about doing is being creative and open and always being able to say yes to whatever needs our customer has, even if they're not things that we currently do. If it's a special service, if it's a product we haven't done before, if it means doing an install on a Saturday or a Sunday when we wouldn't normally do things like that, whatever it is, whatever needs that our customer has, we really don't say no to try and, as long as they, you know, make sense for our company. But for the most part, most of the requests from my customers do make sense for us. But we really try to make sure that we meet the unmet needs. We spend a lot of time asking people what their pain is, what's really going on, why they even came to us in the first place, or what we can do to make things go away. And there's a lot of unmet needs. It's not really low hanging fruit, but it is kind of low hanging fruit. We really strive to close that door.
You know, you're reinforcing a common perspective inside your business that I've, this isn't the first time that I've heard it. When, you know, each time that I've talked to you, it's very consistent, which is another part of the growth strategies, which is being authentic. And that's around customer service and being responsive to your clients' needs. And that is a real opportunity for, I believe, most businesses. If you listen to your customers, they will tell you and ask you for other services and products that you might be able to sell them. Many times, you use the term low-hanging fruit. In my experience, some of the lowest hanging fruit is hanging right on your existing customers where your sales organization is every day, or at least frequently, but maybe isn't trained to be looking for those other kind of opportunities because of, you know, we are X, not Y. And it sounds like to me from your organization, you've been very willing to entertain opportunities with your clients to help do more for them.
Right. And I think that's, to me, that's so much of the entrepreneurial spirit of, I'm sure I can do that. I'm sure I can, whatever challenges you're going to throw at me, I'm sure I can tackle that one. That's part of the fun of it, and I think we enjoy that piece of it.
I guess, again, we'll turn a little bit different direction, Dan. And can you talk about a painful lesson that you learned in your business career, maybe a past experience where you learned something valuable, but it had to come through a difficult experience?
Boy, I'd like to say mine isn't that mine is a really complicated one that you had to really look deep for, but mine is so simple, and that's really checking people's credit and making sure that you really understand your customer before you put yourself out there. And it's just such a simple thing, and in the first, you know, 5 years of my business, it didn't matter. We just never had to do it. And then in this environment over the past year, it's been a lot different. And I've been stung on from customers being unable to pay. And had I really just done some regular standard due diligence, I would have been just fine. And so that's my painful lesson.
My experience in asking this question is generally these are sort of fundamental lessons that the guests have learned that they take with them into the future. So I guess I have to ask, is this one of those experiences that off in the future, you kind of, I've learned my lesson now, and It's a part of how I run this business is we do these things to verify you're going to be able to pay for the product that I sell you.
Right, absolutely. We had the process in place before. We just didn't necessarily, we were more trusting. So we're a lot less trusting now, and not in a bad way, just in a secure your business way, and it's all part of a procedure now. So yeah, it'll be very difficult for us to get stung in the future, I think, with this kind of thing.
Okay. And part of what we try to do on the radio show here is for our listening audience, give you the opportunity to learn by virtue of others' example. And so maybe for those who do have a policy and haven't been sticking to it, although it would be hard to imagine given what we've been through with the past 2 years, maybe a chance to look at how you're ensuring your new clients are kind of credit-worthy, quote-unquote. Could we take a look at what you see as an opportunity for growth that's facing UPS protection and what it might mean to the firm if you're able to capitalize on it successfully?
Sure. Other than just standard growth of just doing what we do and more of it, there's areas of the power protection business that we haven't done a lot of. So we specialize in battery backup equipment today, but there's other areas, generators, air conditioning, that is a big part of this market, and that's the thing that we're going to spend. Those are the things that are going to that will tend to take us accelerate our growth. So just adding more of a focus on generators, on air conditioners, which are already part of the business that we do. A lot of the folks who've got a big data center who might have a battery backup system will need a generator, will need an air conditioner. We've known that before, but now making it a focus and making that a part of the business that we really push, that could grow our business just by adding those, at least in revenue growth, that could be a 30% growth just adding those two product lines, because those are big numbers when you do those.
And so it kind of that ties back into the whole conversation I think that we've been having today on Critical Mass, Dan, which is that, you know, it's low hanging fruit maybe, and it's selling more to the same clients, right? You're not incurring a lot of additional selling expense. You're already there. You're just bringing more value to the transaction.
Correct.
And 30%, as you continue to grow the company, those, you know, percentages get harder to attain. You know, 10% when you're a smaller firm is different than 10% when you're twice the size, which is different than 10% when you're another twice the size. It keeps getting more and more of a chance. Those aggressive growth, and you're talking 30%, which is a huge amount of potential growth for the firm. I could see how that would have a significantly positive impact on the business when you leverage it.
Right. Exciting stuff, and you're exactly right. It's in relative terms, it is low-hanging fruit. It's selling more to the exact same customer. Your description of it was perfect, and that's why I think we can do it. It's just more of a focus on that, and a little bit of that is just growing up in the business. We're comfortable in a certain area, and we're really good at it. Now let's start to get really good at other areas and just keep building ourselves up in all of the things that our customers need.
And many clients would like to reduce their supply base because from a purchasing perspective, every supplier has an embedded cost in your system. It just is. So the less number of companies you have to do business with to get the same amount of product and service, the more efficient you are and the more money you kind of save as well on transaction costs. So by you being willing to offer more product and service to them, you're actually doing them a favor too because you're streamlining their purchasing process to some degree.
Right.
Everybody wins. All right. So if someone, Dan, would like to learn more about your firm based on what we've talked about here today, how would they do that?
Well, the easiest way is on the web. It's upsprotection.com. That's our website, and that gives people a good feel for all the different things that we offer. And there's some good technical information there as well. And then our 800 number is 800-755-0080.
You know, I was interested to have you on the show because So much of a company, in my experience, is determined by the approach that the CEO and business owner, founder, president, whatever the title is for the person at the top of the organization from a decision-making perspective. And it's been my sense that this firm has been a very successful business and met the expectations of the business owner, CEO, for most of its entire existence. What happened when you bought the firm is you had different aspirations for the firm, and you've done things that in the 5 years that you've been with it that the previous owner, it wasn't that they didn't want to do it, but it just didn't fit their model. But yet you've been able to move it in another direction, and I think that is a very good lesson for the audience as well, because if you want to change your business, sometimes you have to start with you changing your attitude and approach to it. And I think from what I've seen and learned about your firm, that's what happened with UPS Protection. Is that a fair statement for me to have made?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I hadn't looked at it that way before, but you're right, especially if you had, I bought a business with a good base. So there was a good base there already, but the changes were all driven by a different direction that I wanted to take. But the base was there to start with. So just like anybody, I think, who's got a good business, then changing it will be driven by them and maybe not so hard because they've already got a good base.
And as I was preparing for our interview, I had come across an online article from a business broker whose position was the best business to buy is a business with a good foundation, but that you can see as the new owner a vision to make it more successful than the previous owner was able to make. It's not always bigger, isn't always better for some people. Sometimes a lifestyle business is exactly what they want. And I really thought of that with you because you bought a healthy business, but you saw a different business, but this was the platform that can get you there.
Right. He wrote a good, that's a great, I'd follow that advice. I think that's a great explanation for it, a great direction.
So I'd like to suggest that we're going to have you back, Dan Kaufman of UPS Protection, and we're going to be talking, I don't know when, but some point in the future, about the delta changes that you've achieved in your business from where you were from your first appearance on Critical Mass, the radio show, to a future appearance. Would you be willing to come back and share
Absolutely. That
with the audience at some point?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, again, welcome to the business community here at Critical Mass for Business. Thanks for being a friend of the show, and I appreciate the time you've given us here today on Critical Mass, the radio show.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You know, Doug and I believe that business owners learn best from the experiences of their belief. You can see in that first interview and conversation that I had with Dan that there's a lot to learn. And maybe some in our audience are aspiring entrepreneurs and you haven't made the leap yet. I think Dan is a good lesson and person to study about making a successful purchase of a business because, frankly, it's fraught with a lot of risk and can be very scary. But when we bring business owners together, you know, we see this every month in our peer groups that Doug and I facilitate, that the opportunity to be in the same room with 9 other executives, many of whom own their own business, can have a significant positive impact on the quality of the decisions that you make. So we're going to turn our attention here in a minute to the second half of the Critical Mass radio show. But before we do that, I'd like to step away for a moment, and then we'll be right back.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Whoa, Welcome back to Critical Mass, the radio show. This is Rick Franzi. I'm your host for today's installment. If you'd like to join the conversation during the show, please feel free to go to our website, octalkradio.net. Find the community chat room. It's easy to find off the homepage. Log on, make some comments, and we'll try to include your thoughts during the show. I hope you enjoyed the first interview with Dan Kaufman, and now we're going to change our focus and bring on our second guest this afternoon, another fast growth company here in Orange County. Savings in OC is the firm name. And we're going to have one of the two founders on the show today, Chris Lemereau. Chris, welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show.
Thank you, Rick. A pleasure to be here.
All right. So you came to my attention as well because your firm was recognized as a fast-growing company here in Orange County. We're going to talk about Savings in OC in a little bit and you and your wife's relationship as business partners and spouses and parents. But before we get to that, tell us a bit about your professional career that predates Savings in OC.
Well, I started leaving the U.S. Navy in about 1991, and worked in the manufacturing environment for 10 years, moving up to a VP of operations, and actually working with my wife now for 10 years, and she was the quality control manager there. And so we worked together for 10 years in growing that business, working for somebody. And, you know, during the Internet boom, that business, unfortunately, you know, fell apart. And we saw an opportunity and to do some consulting to help those customers that were kind of left hanging. And did consulting for a few years and had a friend back east that worked for a newspaper and kept telling me about selling advertising for this coupon book that the newspaper had, and told me to take a look in Orange County to see what, you know, what's going on out here for businesses to, you know, spread the word and drive traffic. And so we did the research out here in Orange County and found that there was a need for this type of advertising. And so that's how we started the whole thing.
And so
we started back in 2006 in the city of Orange, one little coupon book, and it really, you know, took off kind of like wildfire because it was very cost effective for, you know, small to medium sized businesses to you know, to spread the word and drive traffic in their door. And so we started mailing out this coupon book to about 30,000 households in the city of Orange and just got a tremendous response.
Was it what you had expected? Did it exceed your expectations?
Well, we you know, doing the research, you know, we met with a lot of the competition just to try to understand what, you know, some of the scenarios that they, you know, they were selling as far as response rate and what we would expect if we advertised with them. And so we, you know, we took the temperature and found that it actually exceeded our expectation of, you know, what we thought would happen as far as a response rate for different types of businesses. Obviously, there were some unknowns, but for the most part, it really kind of exceeded what we had thought or what we had expected.
Okay, so 4 years ago, you started with your first coupon book focused in the city of Orange. Now, here we are, fast forward, 2010 just ended. What's the service area for Savings in OC?
Okay, currently, now we're at 10 magazines. Servicing roughly about 13 cities now and have a distribution of 300,000 magazines every single month.
That impressive growth from your first start. Where do you see, I mean, What's in store for 2011 for you?
Right now, it's continuous expansion. We're looking at going to South Orange County, Lake Forest, Mission Viejo, heading south towards San Clemente. We just launched a Deal of the Day product, which kind of goes hand-in-hand with coupons. So it's a, you know, an online deal. It could be for a restaurant, for a spa, where people can, consumers can buy a, you know, $10 for 20 at a, you know, restaurant of their liking that we have running on our website. And we've added other products, mobile coupons, and we have a downloadable application for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry as well. And just giving the consumers, you know, more avenues to have access to savings. And on the other side, for businesses to be able to, you know, reach, you know, more consumers with technology and be able to grow their business as well.
Okay. And we're going to talk more in a couple of minutes about kind of growth strategies and things that you and Adina are doing in the business. But before we get there, can you share with our audience, Chris, kind of all the things that you've learned in your business career, what is your guiding principle?
Well, one thing that we both, my wife and I, learned, you know, back when we worked together in a manufacturing environment was, you know, quality control happened to be a big focus. And so one thing that we learned, and we built systems and an infrastructure around quality and, you know, something that really kind of nailed that down was going through an ISO 9000 certification. And what we realized is, you know, you have to say, you know, do what you say and say what you, you know, what you do. And so what we've, kind of our guiding principle is to have an infrastructure that is continuously improving and identifying weaknesses and being able to, you know, fix those. One of the things we tell each other is, you know, a customer should only call for a couple of reasons. One, to pay their bill, and two, to thank us for doing a great job. Anything other than that, obviously, it's a problem, and it needs to be addressed, and a corrective action needs to be put in place. And so, if you constantly are running a business that way, you're gonna be able to, you know, fix problems and really grow and ramp up and evolve, and you know, you don't want to lose customers as fast as you bring them on, and just kind of, you know, spin your wheels. So That's pretty much been our guiding principle from day one.
And that's an interesting focus based on you and Adina's specific background, because I'm not sure how many entrepreneurs are focused on
aspect of doing business. And I think a lot of, you know, startup companies are, you know, kind of in scramble mode a lot of the time, and just constantly putting out fires every day, and those fires are growing. If you, you know, one thing we've seen in doing consulting is that if you have a basic infrastructure, that it's like building that wheel and not having to, you know, rebuild that wheel, you're able to, you know, ramp up and, you know, put those fires out for good, and being able to focus on growing the business as opposed to just getting through the day in a survival mode. So that's one of the big keys to our success, is, you know, getting from one magazine to 10. Obviously, there was a lot of, you know, nuts and bolts in between that time, but I think having that infrastructure in place is really...
Sorry, I had to do a little switch there. I wasn't paying attention.
Okay.
I engineer these shows.
Do you want me to keep talking? Or?
I'm good. Oh. We're good.
So anyways, just to expand on that, you know, some more, we, you know, part of the quality assurance really kind of is the training that goes in from day one for each person that we bring in that works for us, and what their responsibilities are, what the expectations are, and having that guiding principle expectation built into them as they do their job, and be able to, you know, when a problem does come up, that it doesn't get, you know, brushed under the carpet, it gets addressed and brought to the appropriate, you know, department's attention, so that we can do a corrective action and, you know, put that fire out for good.
It's my experience, Chris, that growth will expose every weakness in your processes that you have, and it will magnify them and touch the customer.
Exactly. Yeah,
and so the harder you work to smooth them out, the less you have. And the unintended element is customer dissatisfaction because you can't scale your business. And so I think it's very appropriate, and I'm glad that you guys have, and that's probably some of the basic foundation that allows you to continue to grow your business as quickly as you're growing it and still have a, you know, a sane life around you and happy customers.
Exactly.
Can you talk about, as you know, I'm an advocate of peer groups for business owners because I believe they bring the advisory board concept to life for in a very appropriate way for entrepreneurs and business owners. Could you share with us kind of your direct experience with peer groups, or, you know, either how they benefited you in the past, or how you could see that they would benefit you if you had them in your business life?
Definitely. And I didn't have a formal peer group, but we had an experience a couple years ago. A gentleman wanted to purchase our company, and we were, you know, kind of caught off guard. We didn't expect for somebody to just come up and say, hey, I want to buy your company. And it really made us think and, you know, value the company and go through that whole process. So we, you know, put our feelers out and talked to several competitors, not necessarily in Orange County, but in L.A. County. And it really was, it was almost like being part of a peer group that was targeted in our industry, because, you know, some were very open and gave us, you know, feedback and talked to us, and, you know, some didn't. But the people that we did talk to, and of course they weren't in Orange County, gave us some really, you know, great feedback and ideas. And one of those ideas really skyrocketed our business. And I couldn't thank him enough, but we were publishing every 2 months, and, you know, he basically said, you need to publish every month instead of, you know, every 60 days. And because these, you know, these publications only last for, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, and they're usually, you know, discarded. And so a business would have to wait another month for the magazine to come out again to receive all that activity that comes with, you know, with the new magazine. And so we actually took that advice, implemented it literally within, you know, 30 days, and we converted 96% of our clients from going every 2 months to going every month and paying us every month. And that, you know, more than doubled our revenue, because what it did is it increased the response rates of a lot of clients, which that word spread, and that helped, you know, fuel growth and adding on new clients. And so that experience in talking to different people, including family, really, even though it wasn't a formal peer group, really it was perfect timing. It really gave us the information we needed, because Adina and I were, my wife and I were kind of really, you know, up against the wall as far as, you know, valuing the company and figuring out what we wanted to do. Obviously, we didn't sell, but going through that experience was very, it was, you know, life-changing, really. And so I'm really, you know, after talking to you and you know, looking into the peer groups more, it's really something I want to get involved with myself, that I think it can kind of get us to that next level. Because I think in business, in the stages that you go through, you do hit these ceilings, and you need, you know, people around you and other, you know, entrepreneurs and executives, you know, have experienced the same things that can really help get you over that hump.
That is a powerful story, and you know, we were talking about low-hanging fruit with Dan Kaufman, the earlier guest, but it's so obvious now that you say it, and it probably for you and your wife was obvious after he gave you that information, but it's been my experience that many times in the peer group, it's that one idea that one member gives you that once the light goes on, business owners and entrepreneurs can act very well to make it happen. It's just get into your consciousness that you can act on it, that sometimes is some of the biggest power of being around nine other people who don't see the world the same way that you do, because they're not spending every day, all day, worrying about the same issues that you are relative to your specific line of business. So that's a great story, Chris.
Yeah, it was really, changed, you know, everything for us. I mean, it really changed the financial situation of the company, and was a solid building block, kind of cornerstone to build on, and along with some other ideas that he gave us that were very valuable. So we're very blessed to have gone through that.
All right, well, let's turn you in a little different direction and say, can you share with our audience a current challenge facing your firm and the steps that you're taking to mitigate that challenge?
Well, one of the things that I'm sure, you know, several businesses are probably dealing with right now, and hiring salespeople as you grow, you obviously need more salespeople, and that's really been our current, challenge in obviously hiring the right salesperson and being able to coincide that with your growth, you know, projections. And we do advertising on Craigslist and other local media, and we get a really great response. And I think right now with the economy, you get more people, even though they're not qualified. So there's more to sift through and try to figure out who has the experience, and interviewing them and really, finding, the right people. And I know this is an ongoing problem for a lot of companies, but one thing that we're dealing with to help, overcome these, some of these issues is, because we'll hire a sales rep and, within 2 months they just, die out or fail. And, we have to take some responsibility for that. And so from the very get-go, the whole interview process, we've got more documentation, some consistency in the questioning that's going on, and following through all the way to hiring that person, checking references, really, looking at, did they really do this at their last company? Did they, and going all the way to the point of training and documenting that process as well, and building in milestones, and taking that even a step further, and having very detailed on-hands training out in the field, presentations that are done with potential clients, and documenting all the way through, and the milestones, so they can measure up against the expectation that's been set for them. And so we've just implemented that recently, and we're already seeing great results from it. So we're, we're very excited about that.
Sounds like another example of the process will set you free.
Exactly.
We used to say that at the manufacturing company, that, especially in the area of sales, because salespeople, my experience is, it's a challenge to have a documented process that they follow.
Oh, yeah.
But nonetheless, desktop instructions and a manual can really, in many ways, take a lot of the uncertainty out of it. If I could ask you one final question, and that is, what do you and your wife see as a next step in the growth opportunity facing savings in OC? And what does it mean to the firm if you're able to successfully leverage it, as you've been able to successfully leverage your growth strategies up to this point?
Well, one of the things that I had mentioned earlier is this deal of the day concept. I know that nationally, internationally, that there's some large giants that are doing very well in this market. We feel as a large step and growth move for us is we have such a detailed footprint in Orange County with the direct mail aspect and the other marketing products that we have available to be able to help consumers find these deals, and obviously they're buying them from Savings and OC, and again another tool for a business in Orange County to generate revenue, to drive traffic in their door and grow in this tough economy. And so we look at that as a big step for us. At the same time, growing our magazine base, our goal is to get to 20 magazines in Orange County. And we're at 10 now. We want to add 4 in the next year. And we're very excited. The growth at this point is a little easier than it was, with, 4 or 5 magazines. Because we have a lot of businesses that will advertise in every magazine that we publish because they want the additional coverage in Orange County. And so that, that's where we see ourselves going. And even talking more about the guiding principle, I think that's fine tuning that as we go forward, so you don't take steps backwards. We're very excited and blessed that we have this opportunity and that we're able to grow at the rate we're growing right now.
Okay, if someone would like to learn more about your firm, how would you suggest they do that?
Yeah, the best way, there's a couple different ways. They can go to our website. It's www.savings, with an S on the end, INOC.com. So savingsinoc.com. Or they can call us directly at 888-728-2508. And they can talk to a live person here.
Well, I appreciate the time you put into thinking about and participating in Critical Mass, the radio show today. Welcome to the business community that we have developed here in Orange County, and thanks for being a friend of Critical Mass, the radio show.
Thank you. We really appreciate the opportunity.
My pleasure. I enjoyed it myself. Time flew by. Thanks, Chris.
Great. Thank you.
Bye. I hope you've enjoyed our show today, and I think the interview with Chris and Dan, whose firms were both recognized as fast-growing companies here in Orange County in 2010, gave you some information and ideas that help you to make better decisions. I'd like to thank Smart Business Magazine for sponsoring the show today. Smart Business Magazine is a management journal providing insight and advice for top decision makers. If you'd like to learn more about Smart Business Magazine, visit their website, www.sbnonline.com. If you're curious about what it is here that we do, that Doug and I do in Critical Mass for Business, then heck, check out our website, www.criticalmassforbusiness.com. Till next show, this is Rick Franzi saying, I hope all your decisions move your company in a positive direction.
You've been listening to Critical Mass, only on OCTalkRadio.net.